This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى، فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْطَارُ, that indeed your Lord creates what He wills and He chooses. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, He chose. And of the things that He chose was who would have more than others, who would be greater than others in terms of wealth, who would be greater than others in terms of knowledge, who would be greater from others in terms of physical strength or power or influence or skill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these choices and He distributed it as He saw fit, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this, of the greatest forms of sin and ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when we assume the privileges and the powers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. If Allah blesses us with a little bit more power than another person, a little bit more wealth, a little bit more influence than them, that we take this blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and instead of using it towards ihsan, instead of using it to treat others with excellence, we use it to oppress and show injustice to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of the graveness of this sin, because of its offensiveness in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the slave takes the power, takes the blessings that have been given to him by his Lord, and they use it to show abuse and injustice to the rest of the slaves. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly warns those who act with injustice with the harshest warnings in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ, that indeed those who are oppressive will never succeed. Those who are unjust will not succeed. They will not succeed no matter how many of the rights they have stolen, no matter how much wealth they have taken, no matter how much property they have confiscated, no matter how many judgments they have falsified. The oppressive and the unjust, and the unjust can never ultimately find success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ, that's never think that Allah is unaware of what those who are oppressive have done. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ, rather He only delays them for a day when their eyes will be staring in horror. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ, and those who are unjust will have no helpers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the first moment of the entrance into Jannah when He says, فَأَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ, that a caller will announce between them and will say, the curse of Allah has been upon those who have been oppressive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also continuously threatens those who practice injustice and oppression throughout the Qur'an. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentions a number, a series of verses related to marriage and divorce, Allah does not fail to warn those who have greater power and strength against injustice. And He says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ عُدْوَانًا وَظُلْمًا فَسَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِ نَارًا وَكَانَ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا, that whoever acts in aggression and injustice, we will certainly drive them into the fire, and that is easy upon Allah. Meaning whoever practices injustice in their marriage or in their divorce, they prevent wealth to those who have earned it, they do so in an aggression and in injustice, they are threatened with the punishment of the hellfire. And when Allah spoke about the orphans, He mentions the injustice to the orphans. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا, those who consume the wealth of the orphan unjustly, they are only consuming fire in their bellies. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, مَا مِنْ ذَنْبْ أَجْدَرُ أَنْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِصَاحِبِهِ الْعُقُوبَةِ لِصَاحِبِهِ الْعُقُوبَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ قَبْلَ الْآخِرَةِ مَعْ مَا يَدَّخِلُ لَهُ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ, that there is no sin that is worthy or more worthy of Allah hastening its punishment, bringing its punishment quickly in this world without relieving the punishment of the next world. Meaning Allah will cause them to face punishment in this world without relieving any of the punishment that is apportioned for them in the next world. Other than two sins that the Prophet ﷺ mentions here, al-baghi, oppression, and uquq, and filial impiety, impiety to one's parents. And the Prophet ﷺ warned us against the shadow of oppression and injustice. He said, ittaqu dhulm, beware of dhulm, beware of oppression. Fear oppression. Be afraid of being involved in oppression. Why? He said, فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمُ ظُلُمَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, oppression is many forms on the Day of Judgment. إِنَّ الظُّلْمُ ظُلُمَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, oppression is many forms of oppression, many forms of injustice on the Day of Judgment. The oppression that we participate in might perpetuate a system of oppression that harms so many different people. And the Prophet ﷺ says, fear oppression, because when you're involved in it, when you help it, you might think you come on the Day of Judgment only having done one act of oppression. And really what you have done is inspired acts upon acts of oppression. Fear dhun. And what is dhun? It is injustice, oppression, illegitimacy. It is to place the matter where it does not belong. It is to steal the rights of others, to prevent others from receiving their rights. It is about abusing and transgressing upon others with your tongue and with your actions. And the Prophet ﷺ, in his final sermon, he preached about the sacredness of human life and honor and dignity. When he said, فَإِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ وَأَبْشَارَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلِدِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. That the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed your wealth, your blood and your wealth and your honor and your persons are sacred like the sacredness of this day of ours, in this month of ours, in this city of ours. And the Prophet ﷺ would make dua whenever he would leave his house to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him from oppression. So he would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adhillu aw udall aw udhlim aw adhlim aw ujhal aw an yujhal alayhi. That the Prophet ﷺ said, I seek refuge in you, O Allah, that I am humiliated or that I am led astray, or that I am unjust, or that I am treated unjustly, or that I act with ignorance, or that I am acted upon with ignorance. And this is a powerful dua the Prophet ﷺ would say whenever he would leave his home. And in today's environment, when people are sometimes afraid of the repercussions of racism and Islamophobia, what's better dua is there for us to say? That you ask Allah's protection, not only against oppression being done to you, but against you acting upon others in oppression. And so if you're leaving your home to go to your business, you say this, oh Allah, protect me from injustice, from cheating other people, or from being cheated. If you leave your home to see your family and your friends, you ask Allah to protect you from injustice, that you may harm someone by saying something unjust or hurtful to them. Even if you go to the masjid, because the Prophet would leave his house to go to the masjid and you make this dua, because you might enter the masjid and look upon others with arrogance, and that's a form of injustice. And so the Prophet made sure that we understand and we think about the concept of injustice even when we leave our homes for any matter, even if that matter is to go to the masjid. What is injustice and what is my participation in it? And so the Prophet said, oh Allah, protect me from being the recipient of injustice, but also from being the one acting upon injustice. And as Bara radiallahu anhu, he said, when the Prophet came to Medina, he ordered us to do 7 things. He said, وَأَمَرَنَا بِسَبْعَ. He ordered us for 7. بِإِفْشَاءَ السَّلَامِ, to spread salam to people, to spread peace to other people. وَأَمَرَنَا بِنُصْرَةِ الْمَظْلُومِ. And he ordered us to be on the side of those who are oppressed. He ordered us to be in the help and in the aid of those who have been oppressed. And how often has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoken in the Qur'an about destroying a nation, destroying a civilization. And what does Allah say is the reason of the destruction that has come to their door? فَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا وَهِيَ ظَالِمًا. Allah says, how many cities, how many nations did we destroy? وَهِيَ ظَالِمًا. While they have been oppressive, while they have been unjust. As if the reason the destruction came to them, as if the reason that civilizations fall apart is this particular singular reason that Allah mentions and focuses upon. وَهِيَ ظَالِمًا. While they have been unjust. وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمًا. Allah says in another verse, and such is the punishment of your Lord when He punishes the towns while they have been oppressive. إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. Indeed, his punishment is painful and severe. And our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, إِنَّ النَّاسَ إِذَا رَأَوُ الظَّالِمُ فَلَمْ يَنْكِرُوا عَلَيْهِ أَوْشَكَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُعَمِّيهِمْ بِعُقُوبَةٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِي. He said that if the people see those who are unjust, they see the injustice, فَلَمْ يَنْكِرُوا عَلَيْهِمْ, but they do not oppose them in that injustice, then perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover all of them in His punishment. This religion is a religion that is about preventing injustice and standing on the side of those whose rights have been taken away. A Bedouin once came to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had loaned something to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam previously. He came to the Prophet and he demanded that what he loaned would be returned back to him. And so he approached the Prophet and he said to him, give me what you owe me. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, قَالَ لَا أَجَدَ السَّاعَةَ. He said, I have nothing to give you. I have no commodity to exchange with you. And the man said, no, I'm not leaving till I get what you owe me back. And he did not relent. Even as the Prophet told him, I don't have anything to repay you right now with. And the man did not relent. And he said, قَالَ أُحَرِّجْ عَلَيْكَ. He said, I will make this difficult on you. I will embarrass you. And the Prophet ﷺ remained silent. But when he said that word, the Sahaba became upset. The companions who were there became angry. And they turned to him. And they said, Wayhak. They said, woe unto you. أَتَدْرِي مَنْ تُكَلِّمُ. Do you know who you're speaking to? This is not a random man. This is the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. Do you know who you're talking to? And the Prophet ﷺ, and the man said to them, قَالَ إِنِّي أُطَالِبُ حَقِّي. He said, I'm only asking for my rights. I loaned him something, I want it back. And the Prophet became upset. But the Prophet ﷺ did not become upset at the man. He became upset at the Sahaba. He became upset at his own companions. And he said to them, هَلَّا مَا صَاحِبِ الْحَقِّ كُنْتُمْ. He said, why is it that you are not on the side of the one whose rights have been taken from him? He said to them, what's wrong with you that you're not on the side of the one who is asking for his rights? هَلَّا مَا صَاحِبِ الْحَقِّ كُنْتُمْ. Instead of telling the man to be quiet, or telling the Sahaba to remove him, or telling the Sahaba to silence him, or to discipline him, the way that many leaders would do today, the Prophet ﷺ, he's angry at his companions for not supporting the man against his own self. هَلَّا مَا صَاحِبُ الْحَقِّ كُنْتُمْ. Why are you not on the side of the one who is asking for his rights? Meaning, what is wrong with you? What did I not teach you that you don't understand that in this circumstance you should be with the one asking for his rights? As if the Prophet is saying, did you learn nothing from me? And then the Prophet ﷺ sent a message to a female companion, Khawla bint Qais, and he asked if he can borrow from her dates. And she agreed, and he borrowed from her dates, and he paid the man. And he said to the man, have I fulfilled? And the man said, yes, you have fulfilled. May Allah fulfill upon you. And then he left. And the Prophet ﷺ turned to his companions. And he said to them, فَقَالَ أُولَٰئِكَ خِيَارُ النَّاسِ. These are the best of the people. Those who loan for the sake of Allah are the best of the people. He said, أُولَٰئِكَ خِيَارُ النَّاسِ. These are the best of the people. Then he wanted to make sure that the lesson was not lost upon them. And he said to them, إِنَّهُ لَا قُدِّسَتْ أُمَّةً إِنَّهُ لَا قُدِّسَتْ أُمَّةً لَا يَأْخُذُ الْضَعِيفُ حَقَّهُ فِيهَا غَيْرَ مُتَعْتَعَ. He said, no nation has been sanctified when the weak are not capable of taking their rights without hesitation, without difficulty, without barrier. No nation has sanctity when the weak cannot take their rights without any hesitancy or problem. And how many nations were once nations of greatness, and now are nations of weakness because of corruption and injustice? And Allah will not purify a people when the weak amongst them cannot take their rights from the strong. And the Prophet ﷺ repeated that very phrase, almost verbatim, in another hadith. Another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with some of the companions. And he said to them, relay to me the stories of Abyssinia when you were in Al-Habasha, when you were in Abyssinia. Tell me some of the stories. So one of them said, a story. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I remember one day, an old woman walked a long distance to get water. And she carried a bucket of water on her head. And she was walking back to her home. And while she was doing this, a young man came behind her. And the young man struck her between her shoulders from behind. So she fell on her ankles. And the bucket hit the ground and shattered. And the young man began to laugh. The young man thought this was funny. And the companion said to the Prophet ﷺ, so the woman turned, the old woman turned to the young man. And she said to him, سَتَعْلَمُ يَا غُدَرُ. You will know, O deceitful one, O you who is deceitful, you will know why is he deceitful? He struck her from behind without her knowing that he's even behind her. So she said, O you who is deceitful, one day you will know. إِذَا وَضَعَ اللَّهُ الْكُرْسِي, when Allah places His chair. وَجَمْعَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ, and He gathers the first and the last of mankind. وَتَكَلَّمَتِ الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَرْجُلُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, and the hands and the feet begin to speak and bear witness about what they used to do. She said, on that day, سَتَعْلَمُ أَمْرِي وَأَمْرُكَ غَدًا, she said, on that day, tomorrow, you will know my place and your place. You will know real strength and real weakness on that day. On that day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the oppression of men and what some have done to others, on that day she tells him, you will know who's really strong and who's really weak. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard these words, even though these words were not his words, even though these words were not even the words of a Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قَالَ صَدَقَتْ صَدَقَتْ صَدَقَتْ, three times the Prophet said, she spoke the truth. She spoke the truth. She spoke the truth. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, كَيْفَ يُقَدِّسُ اللَّهُ أُمَّا كَيْفَ يُقَدِّسُ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا لَا يَأْخُذُ ضَعِيفَهُمْ مِنْ شَهِيدِهِمْ. He said, how can Allah purify a people when the weak amongst them cannot take their rights from the strong? How can we expect Allah to purify us when the weakest amongst us cannot receive the rights from the strongest? How can we expect Allah to purify us when children are harassed by their parents in our own communities, when the elderly are neglected and not given even the rights of companionship in our own communities? How can we expect Allah to purify us when we have cases of husbands who will neither divorce their wife nor remain married to them, and no one stands up to that abuse of power? How do we expect Allah to purify us when we see people being killed by the police because of their skin color, and none of us say anything to oppose them? Or how often, or how few of us do us stand against that or do anything against it? When we witness oppression and we do not oppose it, this is an injustice not befitting any Muslim. And this is a theme throughout the Quran, that the one who sees injustice and does not oppose it is immoral and can be punished with the same punishment as the one who is perpetrating the injustice. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. Allah says, fear the punishment that will not come against those who are oppressive specifically. Not only the ones who are perpetrating the oppression, the ones who are sitting and watching and not doing anything will come under that same punishment. How can Allah purify us when we don't stand with the weak and the oppressed, Muslim or not? That's a question. كَيْفَ يُقَدِّسُ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا? The Prophet is saying, how is Allah going to purify these people when the weak cannot take the rights from the strong? And we're seeing what's happening today in the United States. Case after case after case where people are killed by the police just because of their skin color. And us, those of us who are in Canada, when we look at that, we look at it and we think, oh, that's just America. Oh, Americans are so bad. Except the exact same problems in America happen here. Yes, there's more issues in America, but their population is also more. There are instances in Canada where there is severe oppression against people because of their skin color. Only a couple of days ago, a woman was thrown off of her balcony, and the witnesses say the police pushed her off and she died. A couple of days ago, who even heard about that? No, we just hear about what happens in America, because then we can feel, you know, morally superior. Then we can point our fingers and say, oh yeah, but we're better than them. And we can feel absolved of being involved in dealing with these problems. How many times have I heard from Muslims when we talk about the oppression of indigenous people in Canada, that they say, well, they're just a bunch of people who get drunk and do drugs, with no understanding of what happened to them. No understanding of what happened to them, of the residency schools that they were put into, of all the oppression that they faced throughout their ages. Is that the stance of a Muslim who looks at someone being oppressed and says, well, it's their own fault? Imagine people looking at Muslims being oppressed in Kashmir, in India, in China, in Palestine, throughout the world, and says, well, it's their own problem. It's their fault. You demand other people to stand with you against injustice. But when we see the injustice that happens to others, When we see the injustice that happens to others, we just stand and don't do anything? That's not what the Prophet ﷺ expected of us. And so when he hears this story of a non-Muslim young man oppressing a non-Muslim old woman, the Prophet ﷺ says, كَيْفَ يُقَدِّسُ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا لَا يَأْخُذُ ضَعِيفٌ مِنْ شَدِيدِهِمْ. How can Allah purify a people when the weak amongst them cannot take the rights from the strong? We see the Prophet ﷺ teach us the manners of justice. Look at Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was on his deathbed and he wanted to be buried next to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet was buried in the house of Aisha, and next to him was Abu Bakr. And Aisha intended the third spot would be her own when she would pass away. She would be buried with her husband and her father. But Umar radiallahu anhu asked her on his deathbed, can I be buried in that spot with the Prophet and with Abu Bakr? And so Aisha agreed. Umar radiallahu anhu, before he died, he said to his son, when I die, ask Aisha again. When I die, ask Aisha again. Because maybe she only said yes because I am Amir al-Mu'mineen. Maybe she only said yes because I am the ruler, I am the leader, I am the one in charge. That's the only reason she said yes. Because I'm in power and she's afraid of me. So when I die and I'm not in power anymore and she's not afraid of me and on any level anymore, ask her again to make sure that she truly consents to this. Look at the attitude of justice that the Sahaba had in their lives. And the Prophet ﷺ on the Battle of Badr one day, he was ordering the lines. And imagine standing on the battlefield. In the Battle of Badr, they are only numbered 313 against an army of 1,300. There's three of their enemy to every one of them, if not more. And they're afraid. And the Prophet ﷺ is worried. Abu Bakr said, I never saw the Prophet make more dua than on Badr. And the Prophet is arranging the lines. And as he's arranging the lines of his army, he tells them, still, stand in spot, stand in your spot. And one of the companions, Salat, didn't hear the Prophet. So the Prophet's telling him, stand in the straight line, istawiya Salat, and Salat does not hear him and remains standing out of the line. So the Prophet with his stick hits Salat, taps him to tell him, get back in line. So Salat said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, awja'tani, O Messenger of Allah, you hurt me. So the Prophet immediately threw the stick down to him and said, خُذْ اِقْتَصَ مِنِّي, take retribution against me. I hurt you? Go ahead, take retribution against me. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ is the military leader of an army about to face a war against which they're not fully prepared. And a private in the army challenges the leader of the army. Any military leader would discipline the private. How dare you speak to me? The Prophet ﷺ immediately says, take your rights. He doesn't say to him, how dare you challenge my authority? He doesn't have him thrown in prison. He doesn't say to him, do you know who you're talking to? He says, take your retribution from me. While they're in a state of war, while the Prophet had no intention to hurt them, yes, take your retribution. So Sawad took the stick. He said, Ya Rasulullah, أنت ضربتني وأنا كاشف ببطني. O Messenger of Allah, you hit me, my stomach was exposed when you hit me. So you need to expose your stomach as well. So the Prophet ﷺ lifted up his shirt. And Sawad took the stick, then he dropped it, and he kissed the stomach of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, why did you do this? And Salat said, I'm afraid I'm going to die. And I wanted the last person I embraced to be you, O Messenger of Allah. They loved him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with a true love. And the reason they loved him with a true love is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embraced this sense of justice. They embraced him because he raised them to be free men and free women. He raised them to be slaves to no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He raised them to understand that every human must work towards justice. That he was not, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, diverted by money and wealth and his own self. He starved when they starved. He was ill when they were ill. He sorrowed for their sorrow, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's the reason they embraced him fully and stood with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's the sense of justice that we need to understand and implement in our own lives. فَأَكُونُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهِ لَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, days before his death, he stood in front of the people and he said to him, أيها الناس, he said, O people, I am standing above you, I'm standing before you, and it may be that I owe rights to others. أَنَا مَنْ كُنْتُ شَتَمْتُ لَهُ عِرُضًا فَهَذَا عِرُضِي فَلْيَسْتَقِدْ مِنْهُ وَمَنْ كُنْتُ أَخَذْتُ مَالًا فَهَذَا مَالِي فَلْيَسْتَقِدْ مِنْهُ وَمَنْ كُنْتُ جَلَدْتُ لَهُ ظَهْرًا فَهَذَا ظَهْرِي فَلْيَسْتَقِدْ مِنْهُ. He said, O people, whoever's honor I have insulted, this is my honor, let them take retribution. And whoever's wealth I have taken, this is my wealth, let them take their compensation. And whoever's back I have struck, فَهَذَا ظَهْرِي, this is my back, let them strike it. أَلَا وَلَا يَقُولَنَّ مِنْكُمْ. And let not a single one of you say, إِنِّي أَخْشَى الشَّحْنَاءَ, that I am afraid of retribution. فَإِنَّ الشَّحْنَاءَ لَيْسَتْ مِنْ طَبَعِي وَلَا مِنْ شَأْنِي, because taking revenge against you is not from my mannerisms and not from my character. وَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ, the ones I love the most from you today are the ones who will take the rights from me if I have taken any of the rights. And the Prophet kept saying this over and over. Whose rights have I taken? Come and take from me. Who did I harm? Come and take from me. And the Prophet kept saying this over and over. The ones I love the most today are the ones who take the rights from me if I've taken anything from them. And he kept saying this over and over, that until Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, O Messenger of Allah, you asked me to give money to a poor person and you said you would pay me back and you haven't. And the Prophet paid him back. And Al-Fadl said later, I didn't need the money and I didn't want the money. But because of how much the Prophet emphasized that whoever's rights he has taken, he wants to repay them, I felt if I remained silent, I might be sinning. I feared that I might be sinning if I didn't speak up. And the Prophet ﷺ did this only days before he passed away, to show us how much the believers should be striving to ensure they haven't harmed other people, and that they are on the side of those who have been oppressed. And the Prophet ﷺ said, when he sent off Mu'adh to go to Yemen to preach the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gave him advice, he said to Umm Mu'adh, you may not see me again, this may be our last time seeing, and it was in fact our last time seeing each other. He said to him, of his advice, وَاتَّقُوا دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. He said, fear the dua of the one who is oppressed, because there is no barrier. There is no barrier between the dua of the oppressed and between Allah. And the Prophet was sending Mu'adh to go to a non-Muslim people to be amongst them and preach and call them to Allah. And he tells him, beware of the dua of the one who was oppressed, even though they were non-Muslim. Because Allah will still answer the dua of the oppressed, even if they're non-Muslim in this world. If they ask for something in this world, Allah will listen to them. And so if they make dua against us for not upholding Islam and not preaching the true Islam, and not acting upon the true Islam that we know and that our Prophet ﷺ taught us, فَتَّقُوا دَعْوَةَ الْمَذْلُومِ, then listen to the advice of the Prophet and fear the dua of the one who is oppressed, because there is no barrier between their dua and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from oppression and from participating in oppression, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to stand on the side of those who are oppressed and to aid them with what is true and with what is right. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد اللهم صل على محمد ما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار، وصل عليه ربنا ما تضوع مسك وفاح، صل عليه ربنا صلاة وسلاما دائمين إلى يوم الدين، وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى أمهات المؤمنين، وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا همّا إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها وسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، وجعلنا من الراشدين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. واذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. عبد الله بن سلام.